Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Tzadiv Vavam and Aleph. Just to remind ourselves, we have a machloka between Rav Yehuda and Rav Chista with regards to what is the brocha on wine whose smell is that of vinegar already, but whose taste is that of yayin. Rav Yehuda said that yayin and mikar b'chanut, you make a bori priya gofen on that. On the other hand, we had Rav Chista who said that that's already vinegar. You don't make a brocha bori priya gofen on that, you make a brocha of she'akol niyeh bidvaro. So that was the machloket that we saw between them. We saw also the addition of Rav Zvid, that even Rav Yehuda agrees that once it becomes purtsuma, once it becomes wine that is so bad that it's sold on the street corners, that it's sold to the people who don't really care about wine, then already it's a shahakol ni'ebid varo. But then Abaye queries his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, and says, who do we paskin like over here? So Rav Yosef says, I don't know, but I'll bring you a breita that should tell you the information. So that's what we ended off with yesterday. We saw the bright on the top of Tzadi Vovam and Aleph. The Rashbam points out that all that Rav Yosef said was the brighta. He didn't have the remainder of the Gemara is not Rav Yosef's statement. It's the Gemara trying to interpret what Rav Yosef's statement was or what Rav Yosef was thinking when he quoted this brighta. So the brighta is the Tanya Budeke Techavit Yot Mafrishalav Truma Veleich. So a person who takes out a barrel of wine. Again, as we mentioned yesterday, the way that he was going to do this was he's going to set aside this barrel so that anytime he opened up additional barrels of wine, he would use this to be separated out as truma and maser. So the way that the Rashbam explains it over here is that he tasted this barrel to make sure that this barrel is wine. He did a taste test on it, and he was mafrish. From the portion that he took out, he took off trumot maserot because it was tevel otherwise. He tasted it, and it tastes like wine. On the other hand, the Balei Tosfot say you don't have to physically taste it. You can taste it through smelling it. So the word tzi'imei, which the Gemara is going to later on use, doesn't literally mean to taste it, but just to smell it. You can sense from the smell of the wine that it is still good wine. So he did a test, and it is good wine. So according to the Rishbam, he takes out a tester. Off that tester, he takes trumot maserot, and then he tastes it. The remainder in there is still tevel. And that tevel he will use to be trumot to masrot on other barrels of wine. According to the Tosfot, to avoid that problem of tasting it while it's tevel, he simply says that he smelled it and he didn't taste it. The additional thing that the Rashbam says over here is that this is according to the Shita of Rabbi. Rabbi believes that one may not separate yayin on chometz and chometz on yayin. One may not separate from wine on vinegar and vinegar on wine. They're considered to be two distinct minim, and therefore one cannot be mafrish on the other. The Chachamim, on the other hand, believe that even though the Chatchila, we don't allow you to take off mina yofel ara or mina ara le yofel, nevertheless, if you do it, bidiavad, then it is good. So the Rashbam believes, this is according to Rabbi, who says, not only the Chatchila, but even bidiavad, you can't separate out. Others suggest, this bright that could be even according to the Chachamim, not only do they say that you can't do this l'chatchila, but they also say that you can only do it b'diavad if you know what you're doing. And that if you know that you're taking from vinegar on wine or wine on vinegar, even though that is not allowed to be done, but if you do it, you are successful, that's only if you knew that you were doing it. You were taking the vinegar on the wine or the wine on the vinegar. But if unbeknownst to you, you were separating out vinegar from wine or wine from vinegar, then it won't work even according to the Chachamim. So that's how the Rashba explains it in order to avoid this problem of the Braitha being only according to Rabbi and not according to the Chachamim. The problem here in the Braitha is V'achar kach nimseit chometz. Then he finds out a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, he checks the same barrel and all of a sudden, and it's vinegar. Kol gimel yom vadai mikan ve'elech safek. For 3 days it's certain. From there onward it's a safek. Gemara now says, Maika Amar. And again, the Rashbam explains it over here, it's not Maika Amar. It's not Rav Yosef saying this, but rather the Gemara trying to understand, how did Rav Yosef conclude anything from this Braita? First of all, you have to understand what the Braita means, and then once we understand that, maybe we could try to understand what Rav Yosef said. The problem in the Braita is, Kol Gima Yom Vadai. All 3 days, it's certain. Which 3 days are you speaking about? There are two sets of 3 days here. There are 3 days in the beginning. After he checked and it was wine, there are 3 days immediately after that. There are also 3 days immediately preceding the time that he found out that it was chometz, that it was vinegar. Which of those 3 days are being spoken about? That is the machloket amoraim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hachi kamar. This is the way to explain the Braita. Kol gimel yamim rishonim vaday yayin. For the first 3 days, after you checked that it was wine, for the Rashbam you tasted it, for the Baya Tosfot you smelled it, then it is considered wine vaday. Mikan ve'elech, safek. From there to forward, it is uncertain. My taima, what's the reasoning? Chamra milai akar. That wine starts to go bad, it starts to turn into vinegar from the top down. V'hai ti'imei. And he tasted it. Velo akar. And when he tasted it, he was certain that it was wine. So therefore, imtim salomar betar de ti'imei akar, if you want to believe the moment after he took the taste test, or he smelled it, that it began to turn into vinegar, havarecha chala v'tamei chamra. During that period of time, it's wine that smells like vinegar, but tastes like wine. V'chol reche chala v'tamei chamra. And anything whose smell is vinegar and taste is wine, chamra has a classification of wine. So according to the way that Rabbi Yochanan is explaining it, the first thing is, of course, if he doesn't smell the chometz, and he doesn't taste chometz, then there is no chometz over here. There is no vinegar over here. For the two reasons that Rabbi Yochanan states, the first of which is, it starts to ferment and turn into vinegar from the top of the barrel, and that's where he's tasting, from the top of the barrel. So if it was vinegar, he would have smelled it, he would have tasted it, he should have had some sense that it is vinegary. The fact that he didn't have that at the time of the tasting means, at that moment, it definitely was wine. If you believe that immediately after that it began to turn into vinegar, the process of it turning into vinegar is that first it begins to smell like vinegar, and then it begins to taste like vinegar. That means that there's a period of time, a transition between it being wine and being vinegar. That transition takes 3 days. So even if it began to turn sour, turn into vinegar, the moment after he tasted it, during that period of time, it will take 3 days before the actual wine is vinegar, physically, and the taste of it is vinegar. In that interim period, you have wine that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine. And as Rabbi Yochanan says, that's classified as wine. So during that first 3 days, you know for certain it definitely was wine. And that means any Trumot and Masrot that you took off during that first 3 day period is vaday okay. After the 3 day period, you don't know anymore. And then that's where the safek kicks in. So the safek kicks in after 3 days, and that's what the Braita was saying. Kol gimel yom vaday. For the first 3 days, it's vaday yayin. For the subsequent days, mikam elech, safek. There to forward, it is considered to be a safek of chometz or yayin. And you don't know what, if you were mafrish, if you were successful at being mafrish or not. And then you have to deal with the issue of the safek. So that is the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, he interprets the Braita differently. Kol yimimah, yomim achronim, vaday chometz. For the last 3 days, it is definitely vinegar. Mikan olahalan, safek. From there to forward, forward doesn't mean beyond that, means from back, before that point in time, it was a safek. My taima, what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's position? The first of which is, chamra mitatay akar, that wine starts to ferment or turn into vinegar from the bottom of the barrel. V'imur akar, maybe already at the time period where he tasted the wine, it was already turning into vinegar. He wasn't aware of it because he tasted from the top of the barrel. And when he tasted from the top of the barrel, it tasted like wine. But that doesn't mean that it's already beginning to vinegarize down below in the barrel. V'imtim salomar mi'ilai akar. And even if you want to believe that it starts to ferment from the top, v'hati imei v'lo akar, and he tasted it and it wasn't vinegar, Dilma bata de ti'imei akar. Maybe right after he tasted it, it became vinegar. Havarecha chala v'tamei chamra. And even though it tasted like wine, it smelled like vinegar already. And even though it tastes like wine, varecha chala v'tamei chamra. And when you have something that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, chala, that is classified as vinegar. So the key machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi ben Levi is, what is the status of wine when it is in that interim stage? Obviously, if it tastes like wine, it smells like wine, it's wine. If it tastes like vinegar and smells like vinegar, then it's vinegar. The question is, in that interim stage, the smell precedes the taste. where the smell is already turned and it smells like vinegar, but the taste still has a taste of wine. What is the status in that interim stage? That is the question, really. That's the machloka between Rabbi Huda and Rav Chisda as to which bracha that you make. So Rav Yosef, in bringing down this braita, you have two possible interpretations of the braita, and whichever interpretation you pick will influence what you think the answer to that question that Abaye posed to Rav Yosef was, who is the halacha like? So if you think like Rabbi Yochanan says, when it smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, it's classified as wine. The other end, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that if it smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, then it's classified as vinegar. So that is the major machloket between them. And that's the way the Rashbam explains the machloket between them, that that's really the only major issue between them. And he says the fact that the Gemara brings this other piece of information, that Rabbi Yochanan believes that the barrel starts to deteriorate from the top, and Rabbi Shua ben Levi believes that it starts to deteriorate from the bottom, about that the Rashbam says, that even at the time when he tasted it and he thought it was wine, it already had turned to vinegar down below in the barrel. And therefore there's a safek even in that first period of time, because it could have been vinegar already at that point in time. But then the Rashbam goes on to say that that's not a necessary part of the position of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Even though you could use it to help explain why there's a safek immediately, nevertheless, as the Gemara itself points out, you can get to that safek even without that part of the position. Umiyu eino tzarich l'kolzeh. You don't need that extra piece. Da'afilu svirlei namike Rabbi Yochanan. Because even if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi held like Rabbi Yochanan, he believed like Rabbi Yochanan, dimi ilai akar, that it goes bad from the top, ika l'ukmei shapir. You can definitely explain the machloket between them, kedemafarish vazel, as the Gemara does. So he says that it's not a necessary machloket here. The fact that whether the barrel gets bad from the top or from the bottom isn't necessary to explain their opinions. It's simply the Gemara brings it as an aside. And that's, so the Rashbam says, the Gemara itself already indicates that, according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, imtim salomar, even if you want to say that it deteriorates from the top, you still have a problem over here. Because even if it tasted like wine, already by the next morning or the next moment, it could already start smelling like vinegar. And that's not considered to be wine, that's already considered to be vinegar. So he says that this happens to be brought as an aside, but it's not really fundamental to their machloket. Although, for Rabbi Yochanan, he would have to hold that the barrel deteriorates from the top. That already the Bali and Tosafot point out. Lo matzi lemeimer the Rabbi Yochanan metzatayakar. Can't believe that Rabbi Yochanan believes that the barrel starts to deteriorate from the bottom. Dim came and alei dechol gimel yamim arishonim hayavadayayin. Because then how do you know for sure that it was wine for the first 3 days? Because if it deteriorates from the bottom of the barrel, that means by the next day already, the whole thing could taste like vinegar. Because he had no way to sense what was happening to the barrel. If he tastes the top of the barrel and that's where it starts from and it tasted like wine, then he's certain that it is wine for at least a minimum of 3 days. Because at that point, even if it turns immediately, first you go through the smell point, and then you reach the point of vinegar. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, the smell does not impact. It's only when the taste turns that it becomes vinegar. Given that, Rabbi Yochanan has to hold that it's from the top that it starts to deteriorate. But for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it doesn't matter. So now the Rashbam says that they just brought it down, and they show that it doesn't matter in the Gemara. Bali HaTosafot, on the other hand, suggests that, how do you know that the Gemara is arguing about this? V'tzarech lamar, t'nachar achi l'fishu sover shekach haya emet, demitatay akar. The reason that the Gemara brings it is because that's either what they believe, or that's what they think Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi believes, depending on what girsa you have in the Bali HaTosafot. But what the Bali HaTosafot are suggesting is that it is a part of their machloket. Even though it's not necessary in this case, and the Gemara is just bringing it down anyway, the Bali HaTosafot are suggesting here that maybe, possibly, it really is a machloket between them, and there is this fundamental machloket about where the barrel starts to deteriorate from the top or from the bottom. That's the two opinions. We have a third opinion now, which is Daromai Matnu Mishmei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The people from the south say over in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rishonim Vadai Yayin, Achronim Vadai Chometz, Emsaim Safek. They seemingly are taking a middle position, which is the first 3 days are definitely wine, the last 3 days are definitely vinegar, The interim days are a safek. Now, hagufa kasha, how do you explain their opinion over here? Amar tvishonim vaday yayin. You're saying that the first 3 days are definitely wine. Alma, from that you would conclude like Rabbi Yochanan that rechei chala v'tamei chamra chamra. When it smells like vinegar and it still tastes like wine, it's classified as wine. That's why you get the 3 day window. V'hadar amart, then you sit at the end, achronim vaday chometz, that the last 3 days are certainly chometz. There you only know that on the day that you took it out, on that month later, 2 months later, you tasted it, it tasted like vinegar. That means that it could have just reached the point of tasting like vinegar right now. How do you know that the previous days were also vinegar? That's because you believe, alma recha chalo v'tamei chamra chalo. That when it smells like vinegar, but it tastes like wine, it has a din of vinegar. So here you have opposing positions. The position of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is what makes the last 3 days vadei chometz. It's because he believes when it smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, it has a classification of vinegar. On the other hand, in the first 3 days, when you say it's like wine, that's like Rabbi Yochanan's shita, and it's the opposite. That he believes that if it tastes like wine and smells like vinegar, it is wine. So you are now taking a tarte de satre, you're taking two contradictory opinions and putting them into a single opinion. Where it says, Gagon, de'ichtakach chala siftaka. It was very, very strong vinegar. It wasn't just mildly vinegary, it was extremely strong vinegar. De'ilav de'akar tlatayome, lovem ishtakach chala siftaka. Because had it not already been vinegar for a minimum of 3 days, it wouldn't have reached this potency or pungency of vinegar, because you don't just immediately reach that type of vinegary flavor or taste to the wine when it's so strong. So their point is that the reason that the last 3 days are considered vinegar is because you found this extremely strong vinegar there. Now, the Rashbam then says, based on that, the Darumai are really holding like Rabbi Yochanan. In the end, they really believe fundamentally that something that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine is classified as wine. The only reason they say the last 3 days are chometz is because it's strong or super strong chometz, and therefore it must have happened at least 3 days or tastes like vinegar for at least 3 days before. But fundamentally, they agree with Rabbi Yochanan. Based on that, the Rashbam says, halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan, because you have here both Rabbi Yochanan and the Darumai in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, meaning saying that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi doesn't disagree with Rabbi Yochanan based on them, that the halacha would then be like Rabbi Yochanan. There are other reasons to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan over here, but the Rashbam uses that as a proof that it is like Rabbi Yochanan. Vayet Tosafot bring the fact that Rava seems also to hold like Rabbi Yochanan, which would then halacha kebatra or like Rava. And so there are other reasons to believe that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say what the Darumai say? So you have one of two possibilities. Either technically he agrees with them, he doesn't disagree with what they say, he just says that the Braita wasn't talking about siftaka. It wasn't talking about this strong vinegar. You introduced a new variable that the Braita wasn't speaking about. That's why Rabbi Yochanan didn't say it, but he would agree with them. Or you could argue that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with them, that they agree fundamentally about when something smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, it's wine. But they disagree about when you find vinegar in the end. The Darumai believe that when you find vinegar in the end, strong vinegar, that's an indication it's been there for at least 3 days. Rabbi Yochanan might argue fundamentally with that and say, no, any vinegar that you find, you can't be certain about it from beforehand because you don't know when it turned. So those are two ways to view how Rabbi Yochanan would view this position of the Darumai. Now, the Gemara asks the basic question, which is, come on, push it, late. Rabbi Yosef brought the Braita, but how did he explain the Braita? And based on how he explained the Braita, what did he answer Abaye? So, Pligi bar Rav Mari v'Rav Zvid. So here you have a Machloket Amoraim. Chana Marker Rabbi Yochanan. One of them says that he held like Rabbi Yochanan, which means that Rabbi Yosef was bringing the Braita. He explains the Braita similar to the way that Rabbi Yochanan does. And that means his conclusion was in favor of Rabbi Yehuda. That something that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine is classified as wine. V'chada marker Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And the other one says, no, Rabbi Yosef explained the Braita the way that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi did. If that's the case, then he was favoring the opinion of Rav Chista. And that means that he believes that when something smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, it is classified as vinegar. So after all of that, where we were trying to find a conclusion between this machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Chista, and Abaye queried Rabbi Yosef gave him a cryptic answer because we don't know what Rav Yosef thought the Braita was saying. He says, oh, I have a Braita. He brings the Braita. And then the Braita itself has two possible explanations. And since we don't know which of those two explanations Rav Yosef subscribed to, then we don't know what he was indicating through the Braita. But given the fact that the Rashbam over here says, and Balei Tosafot, that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan over here, then the halacha then is that something that smells like vinegar and tastes like wine is classified as wine. And that means we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that the bracha that you would make on it is borei pri, hagofen. Next command. Itmar. Mecher chavit yayin lechaveiro. Person who sells a barrel of wine to his friend, vechmitza. And then it goes bad, and it turns into vinegar. Amarav. Kogimo yami rishonim b'shut mocher. Rav says for the first 3 days after the purchase, the seller is responsible for it, and he has to replace it. He's basically warranting that this is wine, and it has to last a minimum of 3 days in order for it to be classified as wine. If it starts to deteriorate within the first 3 days, that's the seller's problem. Mikam ve'elech b'shut lokeach. From that point forward, it's the buyer's problem if it changes or turns into vinegar. Shmuel Amar, Chamra Akatzva Demare Shavar. Wine is on the shoulders of the individual who owns it. We're going to give two explanations to that in a second. So now, Rav's position over here is that even though we believe that when you smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, it's still classified as wine, nevertheless, we say that is the responsibility of the seller, because that means that the deterioration already started with the seller. So even though in the first 3 days, and say they tasted it, that's the assumption here, they tasted it when he bought it, and when he tasted it when he bought it, it tasted like wine. That means that within the first 3 days, there's no way that the taste turned to vinegar, because it's a 3-day process. And even if it smelled like vinegar and tasted like wine, we classify it as wine. So in essence, what did he do wrong? We gave him wine, he tasted it was wine, and there's no way it deteriorated in the first 3 days to be taste like vinegar. Despite that fact, Rav says you are responsible for it, because there's no way that it turned vinegar that quickly unless the process had already started in the hands of the seller. And given that, you are responsible to warranty it or replace it because of that. So that's what the Rashbam says, "Va'afol pi sheshata imenu lokeach velo tambo reyach chometz shelacho." When he bought it, he tasted it, he tested it, it tasted like wine, smelled like wine. Despite that fact, kishelacho filochi kevin sheichmitz toch gimel, since it turned into vinegar in the first 3 days, hadavar yadua debishat mechira haberechei chalo. It means that for certain, it smelled like vinegar at the time that he sold it, because within 3 days, it turned into vinegar. So for sure, it had to smell like vinegar at that time. Just this guy couldn't get the right smell, or he didn't notice it. For whatever reason, he missed it at that point in time. Behind the Nokot Chavit Shel Yayin, why is it mentioning a barrel of wine, not a cellar of wine that he's selling to him? Because that's the Chiddush that we saw yesterday in the Rashbam as well, with regards to the statement of Rabbi Chiya, that selling a single barrel, the seller might say, listen, you only wanted a single barrel, that means that I thought you were going to use it quickly. That meant that you were going to open it up right away, drink from it, use it up, and therefore why do you care that it turned to vinegar? I thought you were going to have it done quickly. Despite that fact, Rav says, we saw this in Rabbi Chiya yesterday, that even though you're buying a barrel or a single barrel, you expect it to be wine, and you expect it to have some shelf life. You don't expect it within the 3 days to turn into vinegar. So the way that the Rashbam explains it is, number one, the case is it has to be within those first 3 days that it turned into vinegar, and at the time that you bought it, you tasted it, smelled it, tasted and smelled like wine. Despite that fact, Rav says there's no way it turned into vinegar that fast unless the deterioration was already in place, and that is the fault of the mocher. That is the fault of the seller, and therefore he's got to replace it. He's got to warranty it out, because even though he sold a barrel or a pitcher of wine, you still, it doesn't mean that he had to use it immediately. It doesn't mean he has to get rid of it quickly. It means that you are responsible to provide him wine that is of a sufficient quality that is going to last beyond 3 days of being wine. In addition to that, what the Rashbam says is, the barrel or the utensil in which this is being held is the seller's utensil. Which is that the seller sold him the wine, and the buyer took the wine back home in the seller's utensil. And therefore, you can't claim that it was the buyer or the buyer's utensil that caused this problem or the souring of the wine, because it's still in the original container that the mocher sold it to him with. And that's what the Balei Tosafot reiterate over here. And even though he tasted it and he smelled it and it smelled like wine, vadai loteime shapir. It's clear that he didn't have a good nose or he didn't look at it properly because the deterioration was so fast or so rapid that it can't be that way. And that's where the Balei Tosafot add in. That's the way that the Rashbam explains it. B'tzarech lamar, demari hocha diadinin shakan kanda mocher hu tov. And you have to know that the barrel or the utensil which the mocher gave him is a proper utensil, because otherwise you could claim that it was the utensil or the mocher's utensil that caused the problem. Although the Balei Tosafot then go on to say, v'yoter mityashev lomar, says, I think it makes more sense to say, d'hocha tov gimel, that here within the first 3 days, v'afilu b'kankan de lokeach, even if it was poured into the utensil of the lokeach, because you can't blame it on the utensil of the buyer in such a short period of time. Even if the barrel or the pitcher of the buyer causes a deterioration in the wine, it won't happen that rapidly. The only way it could happen that rapidly if there was a problem from the wine beforehand. So the Balei Tosafot are willing to entertain the possibility of even the wine being passed from the utensil of the seller into the buyer and still have this warranty be in place, because the rapid deterioration is indicative of a problem underlying before it ever got into this position. And therefore, whether it's in the utensil of the mocher or the utensil of the lokeach, it's still, he has this warranty of 3 days. Shmuel comes along and says, no, that the wine is the problem of the owner. The way that the Rashbam explains it over here is, klomar mizalo goreim. The mazel of the individual who owns it is what causes wine to deteriorate. Chet shel balayayin. It is the sin, it is the behavior, it is the way Hashem wants to deal with the individual who is the owner. So the way that Rashbam says this, he's quoting a Gemara that's coming up on Tzadi Chet. We'll see that in 2 days. That the Gemara believes that the success of the fermentation of the wine or the aging of the wine is dependent on the zchuyot, on the merit of the individual who is processing it and who is working with it. But not just the one who is actively processing, it's the owner of the wine, because he's the one financially that will be affected by it. And so what Shmuel is saying according to Rashbam is, the transference of ownership is a transference of responsibility as well. Which means that until the point of the sale, it was the merits or demerits of the seller that would change the wine's condition. From the moment of the sale forward, it becomes a problem of the buyer, because then it's the merits and demerits of the buyer which will influence. And therefore, even within 3 days, if it turned to vinegar, it was clearly the mazal of the individual who caused that. And therefore, there is no warranty, and it's the problem of the lokeach from day one. That's the way that the Rashbam views it. You can already see in the Balei Tosafot, he did ask a number of questions, but the most fundamental of questions is, there's no way that the thing could have deteriorated so fast because of the bad mazel or the demerits of the buyer. Because already within the first 3 days, it turned to vinegar. So now you're telling me that it wasn't in place already? The process wasn't already happening? It wasn't a poor quality wine? It was perfect wine to that point of sale, and then now the bad mazel of the buyer causes it to deteriorate within 2 days into vinegar? That's impossible. The physical properties of wine just don't allow for that, and therefore it doesn't make sense to say that's what Shmuel is saying. But rather, v'nira lefaresh l'Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam gives an alternate view of what Shmuel is saying, is that chamra katve d'gavra shavar. Klomar, hayayin kemin shenaso b'ketfayim. When you carry the wine, you transport the wine on your shoulder. The moving of the wine, the transporting of the wine, causes a change in the chemical properties or the dynamic inside of that barrel, and it accelerates the process of fermentation or turning into vinegar. You can see that in the Rabbeinu Gershom as well, because he says, Akatve de Gavre, Shinosimoto, mi beit ha-mocher. When you carry it out of the house of the mocher, shavar klomar akar umepik tamo mimenu. It starts to lose its taste or its flavor because you are transporting it on your shoulder. So that's the way that the Rabbeinu Tam and the Beinu Gershom explain it over here, is that the blame is on the buyer. And what the Mocher can say is, it was perfectly good wine, you tasted it, you smelled it, it was good wine, you didn't transport it carefully enough. And in your transporting of it, you caused an acceleration of the vinegarization, the making it into chometz, because you upset the barrel in carrying it and moving it. And then the Tosfot asks on that position, the Rabbeinu Tam, Aval Ktzat Kasha, it's a little bit of a problem. Amai lo avi bershut mocher, da'adaitad ochi, zovon lokeach minei. That was the condition of the purchase. Lo tzi misham l'tal t'lo. The mocher is not selling him the wine to leave the wine in his possession. He's selling him the wine to take the wine out of here. If that's the case, then that almost is a premise or condition of the sale, which is that you're going to transport it. Maybe you have to answer on behalf of the Rabbeinu Tam that the manner of how you transport it might have impact here. So you say, what was his choice? He had to move it. So there are alternatives. He shouldn't have carried it on his shoulder, which causes a lot of dislocation of the wine in the barrel. He should have carried it, what they say, bemot, which is with poles, that they put it across the poles. There are ways to make it a smoother transition or transport, and therefore he could have transported it in a more gentle, careful manner. In doing so, the wine would have remained fine. And that's why we blame it on the lokeach and not on the mocher now, because we said that the transportation is what caused it. And therefore it's the lokeach's problem because he transported in a rougher way, or a way he saved money, but it might have cost him the wine. And you also have to believe here that the movement of the wine causes an acceleration. It doesn't just cause it to turn into vinegar, but actually causes an accelerated vinegarization of the wine, because otherwise, how would it happen in such a short period of time? So that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam brings it. The Ramban, on the other hand, quotes the Rabbeinu Tam as saying not that it's the transport of the wine that causes it, but the pouring of the wine. It is moving the wine from the utensil of the mocher to the utensil of the lokeach, that stirring up or movement of the wine is what could have caused the problem. And therefore, that's what is being indicated by Shmuel. That chamra katve de mare means, how do you pour the barrel of wine? When you take the barrel of wine to pour it, you put it on your shoulder, and then you open up a tap or you pour it into your utensil. So the movement of the barrel onto your shoulder to pour it into the lokeach's utensil, that caused the shaking up of the wine. That's what caused the vinegarization of the wine. So that is the responsibility of the lokeach there, but how he poured it or how it gets put into his utensil. That's what Shmuel's saying is the problem of the lokeach. So those are the two ways to deal with Shmuel. If there's Bam who says it all has to do with the mazel, Balei Tosfot, the Rabbeinu Tam, that comes up in different ways, but generally the same concept, which is the movement, the change in the dynamic of the wine is what caused the fermentation and what caused the vinegarization of it. Now, all of this you have to believe is where the buyer tasted the wine up front. Because otherwise, you could have a claim that, of course, it was vinegar when I bought it, if he didn't taste it. Therefore, nearly all the Rishonim believe that this has to be a scenario or a situation in which he tasted it first, and it tasted like wine, and it smelled like wine. And then only after that do you see a change in the dynamic. So the truth is that the Balei Tosfot note that the difference in opinion here really stems from what we put more emphasis on. Which is that Shmuel says that we'd rather put more emphasis on the fact that being Miteltel or Miminaneya, the Yain, was the cause of the deterioration of the wine, rather than to say that the person who tasted it didn't do a good job tasting it. On the other hand, Rav says just the opposite. We will attribute the fact that it turned into vinegar so fast to the problem of the mocher, and there we'll assume that the one who tasted it wasn't so good at tasting or didn't catch the flavor or smell of vinegar at that time. So therefore, we're going to suggest that it's the seller's problem, where Shmuel's going to say it is the buyer's problem because of that tasting. Do you give that emphasis and say that the tasting was efficacious enough to determine that it was wine? And therefore, what we're going to attribute the deterioration to is the movement of the kelim, either pouring it into the kelim of the lokeach or carrying it in such a way. Or going to Rav, do we say that the fact that it deteriorated so fast is circumstantial evidence that it must have started beforehand? And we're going to say the person who tasted it didn't do such a great job tasting it. And that might be a part and parcel of the machloket here between Rav and Shmuel. Avad Rav Yosef uvda kavate de Rav b'shichro. Rav Yosef had a case that came before him with regards to beer. Paskin uvda kavate de Rav b'shichro. Beer, he paskin like Rav. And he passed him like Shmuel when it came to wine. And the locha, it follows Shmuel. Now, over here, it's interesting that Rav Yosef paskin like Rav with beer, and then paskin like Shmuel with chamra, because Balei Tosfot say another reason why it's a little problematic that you're saying that it has to do with mazel is the perish rash, kasha, the b'shichra of an uvda kamekde the Rav. He paskin like Rav. Valo kamar Shmuel came into mazle the gover gorum. Shmuel's whole position is only because of mazel. The Gemara is going to bring a proof from a pasuk further on that the temperament of the wine is dependent on the merits or demerits of the individual. If that's the case, why did Rav Yosef have to paskin like Rav by beer? Even Shmuel would agree by beer that it is the seller's responsibility, because over there's no such thing as mazel garum. The fact that he paskins over here like Rav seems to indicate that Shmuel would argue by beer. For the Rashbam, why would he argue by beer? It has nothing to do with mazel by beer. According to the way that the Rabbeinu Tam is explaining, that the question is about the transport, you could argue that transport has detrimental or deleterious effects both on wine and on beer. And therefore, by beer, he said, no, the locha is like Rav. It's more sturdy, the beer. It's less likely to be affected by the pouring or by the transport. And therefore, the locha is like Rav. By wine, which is more delicate, the locha is like Shmuel. So you could understand why he would split the psak. You say it all has to do with mazel, why would you split the psak? It would be obvious that by beer, there's no machloket. There's only one way to paskin. That's like Rav. So maybe that's what the Rashbam says. When he says, Avdei Uvdei Karav, it wasn't because he paskin like Rav versus Shmuel, but he held like Rav because Shmuel's din is not applicable by beer, and therefore by beer, the din would be like Rav. Not to say that Shmuel argues, but just to say that Shmuel's din is not relevant by Shikhar. Mara in the end says, V'ilchata kavatei Shmuel. The locha is like Shmuel, because the Stam Mishnah coming up in the Perek seems to support this position of Shmuel. And therefore, the locha is like Shmuel, that the problem is the buyer's problem from day one. And especially if he tasted it and he smelled it and it was wine, then it becomes the buyer's problem from the moment he walks out of the seller with an S. He walks away from him, then it's his problem. He owns the wine now and it is his issue from that point forward. All right. Tanu Rabbanan. Echad Sheikhar Tmarim. Ve'echad Sheikhar Si'orim. Ve'echad Shmarei Yayin. Mivarchim Aleim. Sheakol Nie Bidvaro. The bracha on all of these food items is Sheakol. Obviously, the bracha on dates is Borei Priyaitz. Over here, you're making beer from the dates. The basic position here of the Gemara, as well as what we see in the Gemara in Brachot, is that the liquids or the items that emanate from the fruits are not considered to be like the fruits themselves, but rather simply, what Gemara calls it, zeya ba'alma, just the sweat of the fruit, and therefore, it's not considered to be anything of mamashut, of substance, and so therefore, the only bracha that you're making over here is shakol nevir v'ro. So by the dates, you would have thought Borei Priyaitz. The answer is no shakol. By the si'orim, you would have made a bracha of Borei Pri Ha'adama, if you ate this orim. If they already processed into flour, then the bracha would be Borei Mine Mizonot, or if you made it into bread, it would be Amotzelechem in Aretz. But over here, where you just soaked them in the water and made it into beer, that beer only has a status of shakol, because it's only getting that which emanated from the item. And the Shmarei Yayin, obviously nobody's eating the dregs or the sediment of the wine. It's what we're going to see in 1 second, which is that they poured water, they soaked water in that sediment, in the dregs, and then it takes on the flavor, smell of wine. That water that comes from the soaking in the dregs or the sediment is not classified as wine, it's classified as water still, or flavored water. And therefore the din is that Merechim Shakol Nie Bidvaro, that the bracha on all of these items is a shakol. The Balei Tosafot add on some additional factors over here. One factor is that even by dates, not only when you soak the dates and make them into date beer is it shakol, even if you press the dates and take the juice out of the dates, you make it into what's called Dvash Tmarim, the honey of the tmarim, which in the modern parlance is known as either Silan or Halek, and that would even be Shakol, according to the Balei Tosafot. It makes no difference that it's the actual juice or the actual date itself that's being pressed into this juice, that still would be shakonia bidvaro, because it's classified as zeya ba'alma, like any other juice that emanates from a fruit. And he says that against the balalachot gudolot, who thinks that the date honey or the silan would have a bracha bori priyaitz. Because that's not just a juice, that's the date itself that you're creating the dvash from, and it has too much substance of the date itself. It doesn't have any piece of the date. You could strain it, or you can make sure that it's just a liquid now, but nevertheless, it is the date itself, and therefore it has a din of bori priyaitz. The Balei Tosafot disagree here, according to the Gemara in Brachot, that anything that emanates from a fruit has a din of zeya ba'alma, with the exception of an upgrade. And that's where the Balei Tosafot say over here, that is another key element in these items over here, is the bracha is shakol ni'ebid v'ro, because whenever you change something from its original state into a different state, if that different state is a deterioration or not an upgrade in the state of the item, then it becomes a shakol ni'ebid v'ro. If it is an upgrade, then the bracha will change. So for instance, the pressing of grapes, that turns into wine, or to grape juice, and then into wine, the bracha there is bori pri agafen, because you've now upgraded. The squeezing of the grapes to make them into juice, and then into wine, is an upgrade of the grapes. That upgrade then will be met with a new bracha, bori pri agafen. But what the Balei Tosafot point out is, the only reason there's a new bracha there, is because you upgraded it. Had you not been an upgrade, had it been that making grape juice or wine was on par with having the grapes, then you would say shakol. What the Balei Tosafot proved from that is, no matter what emanates from a fruit, it's considered to be zeya ba'alma, and therefore the bracha is shakol, and that's why he says by the dates, even if you make it into date honey, it is still a bracha of shakol. You need two things to change the bracha, or to keep the bracha. It has to be that you changed it, and that it is an eloi, that it upgraded it. It has to be that you changed it and it was upgraded. That only happens when the item that you have in the end or the end product is better than the product you started with. So for instance, by se'orim, also, by barley, if you change it into flour and then you upgrade it to flour, then you can make it into cakes, into bread, then the bracha is going to change to mizonot, or the bracha is going to change to amotzi lechem min haaretz. On the other hand, here where you're soaking it to make beer, even though these se'orim are present, and technically, se'orim should result in a bracha of mizonot, over there, you're not getting the iluyai, you're not getting the upgrade over there. Who says that it's better to make it into beer than it is to make it into bread? You could have opted to make it into bread. You could have opted to use it for flour. The fact now that you use it to make it in beer is not an upgrade of the item, and therefore the bracha there is also shakol ni'ebid varo. Others want to say that the reason it's shakol ni'ebid varo is because the water is the ikar and not the se'orim. The se'orim are only that which flavors it or causes the fermentation process to take place, but the ikar part of the beer is the water itself, and therefore you would not make a mizonot in that case. So for all of those reasons, the Tanakhama over here believes that the bracha here is shakol ni'ebid varo. On the other hand, acheirim omrim, there is a dissenting opinion with regards to shmarim, with regards to the sediment. With the sediment or the dregs, sheish bam tam yayin, if the water that has passed through them has a flavor of wine, mevarechalem borei pri agafen, then you do make a bracha borei pri agafen. So the one exception here is the wine. The dregs or the sediment of wine, when you run the water through it, if you end up with something that tastes or has flavored like wine, the Tanakhama says the bracha shakol. The acherim say that the bracha is borei pri agafen. What we say in general with these items is betela dato etzol kol adam, that there is an objective difference here, and if someone has a particular subjective preference for one over the other, it doesn't matter, because betela dato etzol kol adam. It's a strange bird, and we go by the majority of what people will do with such items. That does have an impact in brachot in general. So for instance, the Gemara says that nobody eats raw vegetables. People only eat vegetables when they're cooked. Therefore, if someone eats raw vegetables, they make a bracha of shakol, because they're eating it there shelo ochlim b'nei adam. They're eating it in a way that people don't normally eat vegetables. Given that, in the time of the Gemara, it's possible that many of the raw vegetables, the bracha was shakol, only when they were cooked was it classified as bari pri adamah. Today, where the majority of people do eat it raw, some have a preference for cooked, some have a preference for raw, it's become much more acceptable, maybe even a majority, but at least a significant minority of people that eat raw vegetables. And therefore the bracha today on raw vegetables is borei pri hadama. Despite the fact that, in the time of the Gemara, it was shakoni adid varo. What you see is that there's an impact based on societal norms and the way that it's treated. You can't be an odd individual as preferences one or the other and then impact the bracha. The bracha is impacted by what people in general will do with this. And anybody who is deviant from that, we say betela dato etzol kol adam, and he makes the bracha based on what people generally do with these items. That has impact also by shvi'it. And using peirot shvi'it, even if you have a preference to use peirot shvi'it for this, you still have to then abide by what the majority of people do with this item. And therefore, it's considered to be the proper usage of peirot shvi'it, not based on what your personal preference is. So even though you personally prefer to squeeze oranges for their juice and not to eat the oranges, nevertheless, if the majority of oranges are used for eating and not for juicing, then the only proper way to use them on shvi'it is to eat them and not to juice them. That might actually be changing as well, meaning that societally we make juice out of oranges almost as much or maybe even more than we eat oranges, and therefore there might be an impact in that. But your personal preference won't matter in these issues. Right? Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Damrei Tarvayu. Rabbi Yosef Bosei, Ein alocha ke'acherim. Alocha is not like the acherim. So now, it's interesting over here that they even have to say that, because we wouldn't have assumed that the alocha is like the acherim, because the breita itself that we brought before has a Tanakama, who in general we assume is the majority opinion, and therefore the acherim would be a minority opinion, or even a singular opinion, and therefore why would you even have to declare to us ein alocha ke'acherim, that the alocha is not like the acherim? The reason they might have to say it is because of what we just paskin previously, which is that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that something that has a reyach of chometz and a time of yayin as a din of yayin. So you would have thought over here also by this temed, by this water that is washed through the dregs and the sediment, now it tastes like wine. Even though it's not wine, it tastes like wine. And if flavor or taste is the primary determinant, then you might have thought that locha here is like the acherim, that it has a din of yayin because it has a flavor like wine. So that's what Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef come to dispel, which is no, the locha is not like the acherim, despite the fact that we say something that smells like chometz and tastes like wine is wine. Over here, it doesn't have the status of wine because it's either over-diluted wine or, like the Gemara is going to say later on, that kiyuah ba'alma, that it's not really anything of substance. Amar Rabba, the Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Ramatlata Vyata Arba'a Chamrahu. If you put in 3 measures of water into this sediment or these dregs of wine, and out came 4 portions of water, then for sure it's classified as wine, and you'd make a bracha bari priya gofen. Because what's clear that happened over here is the 3 portions of water you put in now had added to it a 1 portion of wine. You can't get more water out than you put in. If you're getting out more water than you put in, then that means that there was a contribution from the wine into this item. Now, the contribution happens in a manner that makes it that it is considered or classified as wine, which is Rovo the Tame. Rovo is l'shitato d'amarovo. Kochamra de la dori achat lat maya lav chamrahu. Any wine that cannot be diluted by 3 parts water is not considered to be wine. Wine is only classified as wine if it has enough potency or strength in it that it requires a dilution of 3 parts water to 1 part wine. Otherwise, it's not considered to be wine. Now, the Balei HaTosafot point out that in other places in Shas, it seems to be that it's not a 1-to-3 ratio, but rather a 1-to-2 ratio, I mean a total of 3 parts, not a total of 4 parts over here. So the Balei HaTosafot say that's weak wine. Weak wine, Yain HaShironi, that was weak wine, that only required 2 parts water to dilute it. Normal wine requires 3 parts water to dilute it. Others suggest, and we see this in other places in Shas, where somebody drank the wine, and they say, ah, this is the wine of Rava. How do they know it was the wine of Rava? Because Rava had an unusual dilution process, where he diluted at 3 parts water to 1 part wine. Everybody else diluted at 2 parts water to 1 part wine. Rava gave more dilution to his wine. So when somebody tasted it, they knew right away that it was the dilution of Rava. So then the Ramban over here says it, and others say that this is unique to Rava's opinion or Rava's position, but that the standard in other places in Shas is that maybe that it's 2 parts water to 1 part wine. And then you could argue that Rava's statement here is just saying that even though the normal dilutive process is one part wine to two parts water. Nevertheless, it's still classified as wine as long as it doesn't go beyond one part wine and three parts water. Or, like I had suggested before, it might have been unique to Rava's type of dilution, and that's what Rava thought was a proper dilution, but that doesn't mean that others didn't think that it was only classified as wine when the content was one part wine to two parts water. I'll say this off the record, but my brother-in-law asked Vinters about what is the maximum alcoholic content that wine can contain and still be wine, and successfully be wine. And he says that the highest level you could get to is maybe 20% alcohol. That would be really, really hard to get to, is 20% alcohol. There's a claim that in the time of the Gemara, the wine was more potent. And because it's more potent, they diluted it. But that's very hard to argue, because in the natural fermentation of wine, it can't reach alcoholic levels that are above the levels that we have today. Today, you have it around 12 or 16%. That's the kind of the standard in wine. You have weaker ones that are 5%. But nevertheless, your standard wine is running between 12 and 16%. At maximum, it could have been 20%. Over here, they're diluting it three parts water to one part wine. That means that they're bringing it down to 5% alcohol. So their wine was no more potent than our wine was. So to say that they, when they open up the barrel, they're dealing with the undiluted wine, yeah, but I don't know what their undiluted wine was. What I think you have to say is that they were drinking wine as a staple product. They drank wine like water. So then, if you're drinking wine like water, you're not going to drink wine like we drink wine with 12% alcohol. You're going to want to drink it like those wines that are 5% alcohol, which, that's right. I mean, otherwise you'd be in a permanent stupor from drinking too much alcohol. So that's my guess about what's happening over here. It's not about that the wines were more potent, but it was that the way that they drank wine, it was used as the way that we drink water, juices in our meals, or soda in our meals, they were drinking wine. And if you did that every meal, including breakfast, that's what you were drinking. Then if you didn't dilute it, it would be just too much. You'd be drinking too much wine and too potent a wine. I think that's what's happening in terms of it. So when you open up a barrel, I don't think they're tasting anything different than when we open up barrels today. I think they were tasting the same wine. The dilution is what happens after the fact. So what Rav was giving you was a minimum wine content or alcoholic content to be classified as wine. And that is that if it's three parts water, one part wine, then that is the minimum amount that you need in order for it to be that way. That would be equivalent to somewhere along 3 to 5% alcoholic content, which is the way that our lowest wines are today in terms of being classified as a wine. Here you're starting with water and you're pouring it through the sediment and the dregs, and you're ending up with four parts coming out. So by definition, the one-fourth of that is added by the dregs or the sediment, and that means that there's at least a quarter content of wine. So that's what Rava says, that everybody agrees in that situation that it's classified as wine. Roma tlata, va'ata tlata. If you put three parts water in there and you got three parts water back, velo klumu. Everybody agrees that that's shalakol ni'ebid vero. You have water that went in, water that went out. Whatever you have in there is flavor, but you didn't get any content of wine in there because the same amount that went in came out. This statement of Rava is not as clear. We'll see in a second based on a Mishnah that we're going to quote. Ki plige, where is the machlok between the Tanakama and the Acherim? Derama tlata, vata tlata upalga. He put in three, and he got 3.5 out. So now here's the question. The Rabbanan sabre, the Rabbanan believe, tlata ayo, tlata nofuk. Three went in, three went out. It means that's the water. Three parts water went in, three parts water came out. Pashle palga, you have half a portion that's not water, that's clearly wine. Upalga bishita palge maya, below klumo. But that brings it to a dilution level that's way too high. Because you have 6 half parts, which is the 3 parts of water that went in, and then you have 1 half part of wine. That means that in essence, it's 1/6 of the mixture. That's not enough. We said before that it has to be a minimum of 1/4 of the mixture to suffice. Over here it is 1/6 of the mixture, or even really 1/7 of the mixture. And therefore, it's not qualified as wine. V'cherim sabre, v'cherim believe, tlato ol, treno palganofik. 3 went in, 2.5 came out. Pashle kuza. And now you have one left over, one part that's left over, which is wine. Pekuza betreo palga chamra malyu. If you have 1 part wine, 2.5 parts water, then you're at a dilution rate which is sufficient to be classified as wine. So now, what the explanation is, or the question is, when you put the water through and you're soaking it through the sediment and you're soaking it through these dregs, what do you get out on the other side? It's clear if you get more than went in that something happened. If that more is sufficient to be classified as wine, then you have wine on your hands. It's also clear that if you put in amount of water and you get water out, that all you got out was water. The same water you put in is what you got out. The question is, when you get a small amount more, what happened over there? So the way that the Rabbanan say is no different than any of the other cases. You put in the water came out. The additional amount is just the wine. That little extra is the wine, and that's why it doesn't have any influence over here. What the Acherim say is that no, there's actually an exchange going on. There is circumstantial evidence over here that there is wine in this mixture because you got 3.5 when you put in 3. That circumstantial evidence will also indicate to you that maybe there was an exchange that took place, which is you put in 3, 2.5 came out, but the other half got caught up in this dregs and sediment. It was replaced with the dregs and sediment or what was inside of it that came out. And therefore, you have not just the half that came out, but even a hole that came out. And that's why you get enough to be classified as chamra, be classified as wine. All right, so now the Rabbeinu Tam adds over here that this is not only true by dregs and sediment, but it's even true of the chartzanim, the seeds. He says in their day, they used to soak water in the grape seeds, and then they would get the same type of flavoring. The Rabbeinu Tam says that it has the same impact, meaning that grape seeds are no different than shmarim, than sediments. And you can see that explicitly in the Rabbeinu Gershom in the top of the next Amud, that he pours the water over the seeds, or the grape seeds, which would corroborate the position of the Rabbeinu Tam, that the seeds have no different a din than the shmarim or the sediment itself. And he says, don't say that seeds are better than shmarim, and he brings a gemara that might indicate that, and he shows you why that's not the case. Though there are rishonim that follow the sheet of the Ramban, that want to differentiate here between items that were simply pressed by being stepped on, versus items that not only have been pressed by being stepped on, but also have been put into the press itself, into the machinery or the squeezer, and squeezed every last bit out of them. And so the Ramban wants to differentiate between items that have just been pressed by being stomped on, that those items do have a status of yayin when you put the water through them, because there's still residue and there's still wine in these items, and therefore it has a din of yayin. Whereas if you take those items after they've not only been stomped on, but also put through the machinery and the pressing, that's what our Gemara is discussing. Whereas the Rabbeinu Tam over here seems to indicate that there's no difference between them, and even the seeds that are taken have the same din as the shmarim. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam, especially you can see this in Avodah Zarah, and here in this Gemara, you'll see it a little bit, is that the Rabbeinu Tam and possibly his grandfather Rashi were vintners, and they were very involved in the wine process, and therefore they have opinions or they state things about what's happening in their time. This is one of those things that the Rabbeinu Tam mentions, is that when we soak it in the seeds, it's no different than the shmarim. Rabbeinu Tam, at the end of today's daf, will also have another statement or opinion where he's clearly indicating the issues that they are dealing with in their business as vintners. The Gemara asks here, "Ubichyoter mikdei midato mi plige." Is it really true that above the amount that you put in, that they argue? Vatanan. We have a Mishnah that seems to indicate otherwise. Hamitameid. This is the terminology that is used by the Gemara or the Mishnah to describe this process of putting the water through the dregs or the sediment. The resulting water or juice that comes out is called temed. That hamitameid, v'natayim mayim b'mida, umatzan kedei midato. He put in water at a measured amount, and when he gets the result afterwards, he gets the same measure of water on the other end. Patur. Over there you are patur from taking off shumot and masrot from it, because you have water and you don't have wine. Rabbi Yehuda, michayev. Rabbi Yehuda himself says, no, by maaser, you have to take off shumot and masrot over here. We assume that the water that you put in is not all the water that you came out, and therefore the water went in and it was exchanged for wine or something else, and that which came out is classified as wine. Ad kan lo plige ela bikdei midato. Over there, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim only argue when you put in the same amount, and the outcome or output was the exact same measure as what you put in. Aval yoter mikdei midato, above that amount, lo plige. Then they don't argue, meaning that even the Chachamim will agree to Rabbi Yehuda's position. Now, the Gemara avoids asking a more fundamental question, which is, Rova said before that if you put in a measured amount of water and you get a measured amount of water out on the other end, then everybody agrees that that is a lo klomo and it's shakol niya bidvaro. What is he talking about? Here you have an explicit Mishnah that says the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda argue about that exact point. So how can you say there's no machloket about it? There is a machloket about it. So the Rashbam over here says, no, there is no machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim with regards to the bracha. When it comes to a bracha, you're going to make a shakol niyeh bidvaro, because that is the safer bracha. If you say bori priya gofen, you're at risk that you're not getting the right bracha, because it's not chamra, it's not wine. On the other hand, if you say shakol, even if you think it's wine, you're safe because it's shakol. So the truth is that Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's a safek, and therefore, by ma'aser, he's machmir. Say you have to take off shumot to masrot. By bracha, he goes lehukula and says you make a shakol niyeh bidvaro. So what the Rashbam says is this is not a proof against that position of Rava, because even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you make a bracha of shakol niyeh bidvaro. That's the way the Rashbam deals with it, to avoid the problem of the machloket. The Baal Yeh Tosafot say, no, maybe there is a machloket. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda believes that you would make a bori priya gofen. Despite that fact, it's not a problem to suggest that the Braita that we brought over here, which is the Tanakama and the Acherim, they both hold like the Chachamim. That's not a problem. If Rava is setting up the Braita to hold like the Chachamim, that's not an issue at all. Because in the Machlok between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are the one who say that if you put in a measured amount and get the measurement out, it's not considered to be wine. And that's what Rava says. So that's not a problem. The problem, or why the question comes from above that amount, is now, if you say that above the amount, if you put in a measured amount, you get more back, both Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim agree that that's considered to be wine, then in our Braita, who's the Tanakama and Acherim holding like? They can't hold like the Chachamim, and they can't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why the Baal Yeh Tosafot say the Gemara asks the question from above the measure and not at the level measure. At the level measure, you can just say they're holding like the Chachamim. That's fine. But above that, if you say Kulei Alma, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda say that that's classified as wine, then who are the Tanakama and the Acherim in our Braita subscribing to, according to Rava, who says that that's where their Machloket is? What do you mean that's where their machloket is? Nobody agrees with that. Everybody thinks that above that amount is classified as wine. Gemara's answer is, no. Hu adin, ta'afilu biyoter mikdei midato plige. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim argue even above that amount. If you put in 3 and you got back 3.5, they argue in that case as well. Va'adaka miflige mikdei midato. So then why did the Mishnah only bring their machloket down about when it's equal, when he puts in a measured amount of water and gets out the same measured amount of water? Lo'diacha kocho de Rabbi Yehuda. To teach you how strong the position of Rabbi Yehuda is. So despite the fact that we normally say, the Gemara in the beginning, Beitza says, Koach de'etera odif. The one who is mekiel is always better, and therefore we will always bring his opinion down or stretch his opinion to the limits to show how far the heter goes. Over here, that's not needed, or it's not necessary. Because the Chachamim's position is that when you put in water, you get out measured water, it's water. You wouldn't have had a Havamina to think otherwise. And to say when you put in some water and a little more comes back out, the fact that you say that that is considered to be water and not wine, that's also not such a big chiddush, because you don't have sufficient amount of wine in there to make it into wine. The biggest chiddush here is Rabbi Yehuda's position, which is that despite the fact that you put in a measured amount of water and you got the same measure out, he's claiming that's wine. So since that's a huge chiddush, the Mishnah focused on Rabbi Yehuda's position despite the fact that he is a machmir here and not the kula. And you can see in the Rabbeinu Gershom that he actually explains the Chumrah in the following manner, which is, da'afilu b'gdei midato mechayev mishom, because he holds like the Acherim from before. Da'eched derama tzlat kuzei v'afek lat kuzei, even though the same amount of water that went in came out. Treo bala nafek mimaya betulo, only 2.5 of water really came out. Vidach nivla b'chartzanim, and the remainder got absorbed into the pits that were there. And the remainder, why you got back the same amount from the pits that were in there, is because of the fact that you got a half portion of wine in there. So even though we only attributed that position to the Acherim according to Rava, when there was more that came out, over here it's suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda's position takes that to another level, which is even at the flat level. When you put in water and you get the same amount out, he still doesn't think you're getting back just water. He says there's been an exchange that took place, and that exchange caused it that you're not getting back just water, you're getting water and wine that is back. And that's the koach de Rabbi Yehuda. The koach de Rabbi Yehuda is that we always say that, not just when there's an excess amount and circumstantial evidence that something happened in an exchange, but even when it comes back the same amount of liquid, we still make that comment. And that's the koach de Rabbi Yehuda that's being emphasized by the Mishnah. But that's what the Gemara answers in the end, that they argue even an amount above that, as long as it doesn't reach the qualification of 1 to 4 parts, then everybody would agree that it is wine at that point. If it's under that threshold and above the equal level, there is a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, similar to the machloket that is between the Tanakama and the Acherim. Based on that, the Tanakama of the Braita is aligning with the Rabbonon's position, and that's why we would paskin like the Tanakama in the previous case, and not like the Acherim, and that's what Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef said, Ein Alocha ki Acherim. Alocha is not like the Acherim, even though there might be some logic to what they are saying, even though it might make some sense, because Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing over here, despite that fact, we're not going to paskin like the Acherim. Boimini Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak mi Rav Chiya Bar Avin. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak has a Rav Chiya Bar Avin. Shmarim sheish b'hem tam yayin mahu. If you put water through the dregs of the sediment and you get water out that has a flavor of wine, what is the din over there? The way the Rishbam phrases the question is, they didn't know about the Braita. Had they known about the Braita, they would have known. It's machloka between the Tanakama and Acherim. So it must be that he doesn't know about the Braita. The other way or a possible explanation is that he knew about the Braita, but now he wants to know, who do we paskin like? The fact that he has a safek over here is maybe why Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef before went out of their way to say the halacha is not like the Acherim, because you see here that people were not certain as to what the halacha should be. Amar lei, misavar et chamrahu? You think that what you're drinking over now is wine? Kiyua ba'al mahu. It is simply flavoring, we'll call it. Kiyua usually refers to something that is pungent or acidic in nature, which is that it's not really that there's wine in here. It's just that the wine lent a certain amount of flavoring to it, but it's not really wine. And this is similar to what we saw before in the Gemara with regards to brachot, which is that when you squeeze the juices out of the fruits, it's considered to be zeya ba'alma. It's considered just to be the sweat of the fruit. So it's over here, you're going to say the same thing with regards to the flavored water, that it's exactly that. It's flavored water and not water with wine in it. And that is that it's a zeya ba'alma. It's something that just emanates from the sediment or the dregs that gives it a certain amount of flavoring or acidic taste or pungency to it. And so it's really just a flavor or a sensation that is placed into the water. It's like equivalent of the flavored seltzers that they have today, where it just lends a certain amount of sensation or taste to it, but there's nothing in there that would indicate that it's the other juice or the other item. It's seltzer with a little flavor, and so to over here, it's water with a little flavor. It's not something that's turned into wine. And therefore, the brocha is shakol niyeh bidvaro, and it'll be classified as water. Based on that, you can see here now, the Rabbeinu Tam as a vintner has a problem, which is, mikan hore Rabbeinu Tam bidiavad, says bidiavad, imrachatz akum chavit shel shmarei yayin, that if a non-Jew comes along and cleans out the barrel that had sediment in it, now you have a problem. You have a goy who came into contact with wine. Goy who comes into contact with wine makes it into stam yeinam, and then you have a safek or a possibility of yayin nesech also involved here, and it makes it asur. If it makes it asur, now you're going to run into problems with the barrel going forward. You're going to have problems with this sediment that you're taking out of there. The Rabbeinu Tam says, based on our Gemara, you can have a kula over here, which bidiavad. If the goy clears out the sediment from the barrel, the shari, that's okay. The lav chamrahu. It doesn't have a din of chamra, like kiyua ba'alma. It only has that status of being kiyua ba'alma. Truth is, it's not so clear because it depends how much comes out of the temet. It's not clear here from the statement of when Rav Chiya Ba'avin's answer to him, whether he means that's only when it's below the threshold that Rava mentioned, or even above the threshold that Rava mentioned. Even if it's above the threshold, does Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin always believe that it's kiyu ba'alma, irrespective of the amount goes through? It's not clear from here. So the Rabbeinu Tam is willing to rely on this bidiavad to deal with their winery. They have non-Jews working in their winery. We know that from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, because the Rabbeinu Tam speaks about non-Jews carrying barrels of wine, and whether that affects them and makes them into stam yeinam. So we know he has workers that are non-Jewish in his winery, and here he's facing problems of stam yeinam. And you see here, the Rabbeinu Tam dealing with a practical issue, which is, when his non-Jewish worker goes in and clears out the barrel from the sediment, does that cause a problem? And based on our Gemara, he wants to suggest that bidiavad, it is considered to be fine. Okay, we're going to stop here, 9 lines down on the top of Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph.